All right, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast, this Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. To the phones, True Bachelor in Arkansas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Chris. From the FDS, the frozen deep south. Almost 11 inches of snow. It's still snowing right now. And it is, you know, got down to 9 below zero not last night, but the night before. 20 below was the low at Fayetteville.
Yeah.
So that's unusual.
Well, you know, global warming does that, so.
That's what, coronavirus increases right now because of that.
Absolutely. Yep. And you probably catch it because you say these things, you know.
Yes,
politically motivated
I'll,
as well.
I'll catch it somehow. Yeah. One way or the other. But just want to say that I agree with you. Everything's going on. You know, it's just you choose what you choose and you lose or you win. One side or the other.
Yeah.
And
virtue, I'm going to keep harping on virtue, morality, and religion, you know, and so the compromise. Yeah, the compromise.
One side or the other. You're either going to choose to win or choose to lose.
Yeah.
And you got to wear the same pair of shoes, but not all the time.
Yeah.
But, I agree with you. I've been praying, so I've got a blanket on my car out there on the hood. I've been starting it every day because we've been below freezing for like 5 days now. And it's still running, and I prayed to the Lord to keep my pipes from bursting. We'll find out. They have not burst yet, and they're
That's
not
great.
Going to. And my old 88 Cadillac, Outback Cadillac, people, you'll start your car every day, no matter what your temperature is, summer, winter, fall, or spring. Start that car and let it run for 5 to 7 minutes. Every day to keep that battery charged.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys aren't used to that kind of weather, are you?
No.
Yeah.
9 below zero?
Yeah.
9 below zero, and I've got the pipes are still wrapped and everything. But I've got a good I got a curse and a blessing. I've got one of the vents that goes, you know, runs up. I don't have any air conditioning because it went out. I'll be blistering this summer. But I've got one of my vents that has a hole in it underneath the house, and it allows the heat to go underneath the house.
Huh.
So that is going to, you know, save my pipes from freezing. It was a curse. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the money to fix it or anything. I live on $1,000 a month disability. But that's a blessing because it provides heat underneath the house where the pipes are.
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, another one of those things. I mean, depends on your perspective. And it's
a curse
it's,
turned out to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I took care of my grandmother until she's almost 95. I lost both of my parents in 19th and 22nd of November 1989, 60 hours apart. I guess I'll have to raise them when I get to heaven because they're younger than me. They were 48 and 52 when they died. My mother died in my arms, and after we got through putting pictures, my father's hands at the casket, and I didn't get to see my father's funeral. And no sob story. That's just, you know, fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I want to tell everybody to stay warm, but we're getting plenty of snow here in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Which is very unusual. We're closing in on 11 inches right now.
Wow. That's...
You know, and it's 15 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, God bless you. Have a great day,
sir.
Thank you.
And
it's good to talk to you, okay?
You too. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Stay warm. And, my goodness, I think the average snowfall in Arkansas this time of year is around an inch or two. So 11 is 10 times that. And I'm sure that, you know, like so many other places across America right now, I don't know. I mean, is it weather warfare? I don't know. Go to Jim Lee's weathermodificationhistory.com and, I don't know, decide for yourself. Weathermodificationhistory.com. And he has the quote up there at the top, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it, which is, I would say, a sort of paraphrasing of Santayana. Anyway, yeah, we have a choice. And I would say virtue, morality, and religion. And so people will, you know, basically because of our own greed, our own selfishness, our own whatever, we will say, you know, we will choose the seemingly easy path, you know, the path of least resistance. When in reality, you know, the fact that nothing worthwhile ever comes easy is, there are so many instances and quotes about that, it's cliche. But we are, you know, creatures of habit, and we will choose the path of least resistance. Well, you know, I just don't want my children to have a hard time. Really? Speaking of that, I think maybe I'll talk about that for a second, because there's an interesting passage in Hebrews 12 about that. I don't want little Johnny to suffer. Really? You mean, you know, now or later? I mean, we've been conned. It's just crazy. So let's see, where is that? Discipline. This is NASB, Hebrews 12, starting verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And this is a combination of an excerpt from Job and Proverbs 3. Job 5 and Proverbs 3. You've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And I've talked about discipline before. Definition, let's just say it's the training of the mental, moral, and physical attributes of the man. And for those who are interested in, you know, like, what is that? Speaking of Murphy Brown, who mentioned Murphy Brown yesterday? It was Dan, I think, in Washington. There's that article that I always think of from a million years ago, Terrence Moore's article from 2004, over the Claremont Institute, titled Wimps and Barbarians, the Sons of Murphy Brown. Today's boys have little sense of how to be men. Yep. Are we training men? You know, John Stadmiller played Larry Elder, his commentary on Denzel's remarks recently, we played some of that too. You notice that every time Denzel Washington is interviewed, he, you know, somebody says, what about racism? What about segregation? What about, you know, equality of blah, blah, blah? And he always comes back around and says, where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? I wonder why he says that. Where are the fathers? Somebody says, well, you know, I didn't have a father because, you know, he was in prison. And he says, well, where was his father? Terrence Moore's article, Wimps and Barbarians, the Sons of Murphy Brown. Today's boys have little sense of how to be men. It's an interesting read. I recommend it. But, so, Hebrews 12, that's, you know, for discipline and, you know, that kind of stuff. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. We're not supposed to do that anymore. Dr. Spock told us that's bad. It hurts children. Really, how's it working so far, decades later? Is it we're a better, kinder, gentler society, or no, wait, not so much. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you are without discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So if you just think about that for a second, if you remove a father from the house, then are you creating illegitimate sons? And I can tell you from personal experience that that is a perception it creates. And it is a deeply rooted issue. It's very pervasive. And you could study Freud for years and you'll never get it as clearly and precisely as Hebrews 12:8. If you are without discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And we've institutionalized it. No, that's normal. It's okay. No, maybe it's not okay. Maybe it's part of the plague that Sigmund Freud intimated that he was bringing to America. We're bringing them the plague and they don't know it. So we have choices. And maybe we should re-examine and choose wisely. Virtue, morality, and religion. Back to the phones. Mike in Colorado, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. I was just ruminating on what you were just saying there. Do you have children?
I do.
Are they grown or are they kids?
Grown. One son, grown.
Did you raise them did you discipline them, or were you kind of permissive? Being from the last round of children, I guess I'd say.
It would, this is probably a discussion for later, but, I would say it depends on who you ask. If you ask me, I would say that
opinion.
I would say, yes, I disciplined him. And in this sense, trying to give him the tools to prepare him for life, because the Bible tells us that, our children are like clay, basically. It's kind of a lump of clay for us to help fashion. And I've told this story before, these days. Right. And so these days, similar to, clay, if those of us who took art in school, if you remember art in grade school or junior high or something like that, you start trying to do pottery and, you're trying to make a vase or something really nice. And don't we all remember our first endeavor with pottery? We start to make something beautiful and it always turns into an ashtray. It has those jagged edges on it. And what is it? It can't really, we'll just call it an ashtray. There you go. And so I think in America, we've been making ashtrays for a while. I think we've been making ashtrays in America for a while. And I was trying to, shape the clay the way that.
I was going to say, I raised three kids.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm just trying to, give him the tools so that he can be successful in life. And hopefully, that's what we're trying to do as children. Anyway, go ahead.
Did you feel like it worked out then?
Well, he's young. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I raised three, and I guess single father and kind of a disciplinarian. And I kind of got three different results. I noticed that I was just talking to my son, my oldest, a little while ago, and he's very permissive, I think, with his children. And then my youngest, he's more of a disciplinarian, And he seems to be raising real, and I think I like his product best of all. But you got me thinking on that. And then anyway, that's why.
How old are your three sons?
They're all, I got two boys and a daughter, and they're in the late 20s to early 30s, you know. But anyway, it's just interesting, talking shop as far as parenting goes. I want to make a comment to the fellow in Arkansas. I live up in the Rocky Mountains about 8,500 feet, and he's gotten more snow and colder weather than I've had all winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, well, get back onto your subject. I'll listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call.
All right, bye-bye. Much yeah.
This is, I would say, if you read the Bible and you see these things and you take them seriously, I guess, and you just start to observe, you can see the evidence of these truths in life. I know I can. It's interesting. There's one example I can think of in particular. Four children. I would say all grown now to an age where they, have their own families and lives and things like that. All out of school and, into life and whatever. Career, spouses, their own families or whatever. But, not into middle age. Still fairly young. So four children. Here's an example. So the first child, the oldest, I guess we'll say it that way. The oldest, his father was, we'll just say, he was not around. He was not really welcome, so to speak, in his son's life. So the oldest child really didn't have his father. And then, his mother met somebody else. And, then with this gentleman, she had a couple of kids, actually three, excuse me, and the oldest of those two children were raised almost, I would say, the point of they were launching out into life by the time then, husband and wife divorced. These two children were about out of the house, or they were pretty much raised and gone by the time their parents divorced. And then the youngest, of course, experienced the divorce and then another remarriage. And just to sort of look at these four children, you can see, I believe, the impact of divorce and the devastation of, how that changes a child's life, especially a boy's life in this case. I think you can see that in the lack of personal confidence. I think you can see the evidence of Hebrews 12:8, quite frankly, how they feel like illegitimate sons. So that's just one example that I can think of, and there are many others, but it's unfortunate. We have choices in America. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. That's ironic. Ironic for what I said in the last segment. We have choices. Make good choices. And poor choices kiss the good life goodbye. But also ironic because Fox News is reporting that Rush Limbaugh has passed away at age 70 after obviously protracted battle with lung cancer. And, you know, most recently that stage 4 lung cancer diagnosis back in January. So that's unfortunate. Condolences to the family. And I'm, you know, there's no doubt that he will be missed. So Rush Limbaugh passed away. And it seemed like the writing was sort of on the wall most recently. But it doesn't make it any easier, obviously. It's still difficult. Segueing back a little bit, I guess I'll sort of crash through some of this stuff. This is kind of a rant, maybe, and I'll grind on this a little bit, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. You know, at the risk of sounding irascible or cynical or something, I think I'm going to do this because I've been thinking about this stuff. You know, there are just, you know, we just don't look at these things the way that we should. We're not seeing reality as reality and, you know, calling a spade, basically. You know, like I said, with the CNN town hall, that's not a town hall. Come on. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's dishonest to call it a town hall. Let's stop doing that. It was a social engineering and propaganda stunt. Because there was nothing. I mean, I don't have to be there to know the long history, and I've talked about the history. We've played some stuff from the folks, you know, the political fixers who do these things. And there's zero evidence to the contrary that these kinds of things are just entirely scripted. So let's stop calling it a town hall, because that's not what it is. And for that matter, we could go back to what Neil Postman said. We played some of that stuff recently, you know, how he said what we call debates today is basically a joke. Political debate, it's not a debate. And he said the standard used to be the Lincoln-Douglas debates. That was a real debate that would go on for 7 or 8 hours. You know, similarly, in recounting the defense of James Otis, you know, or James Otis' defense of the Boston merchants, John Adams writing to William Tudor, in the summer of 1818, said something similar. You know, 4 or 5 hours this defense went on, his James Otis's oratory. 60 years later, John Adams is recalling that from memory. That used to be the way things were. So Neil Postman said the Lincoln-Douglas debates that would go on for hours, that was kind of the benchmark. And he said, but now, you know, now that we have television, you have 2 minutes to answer a question, and then someone has 30 or 60 seconds to rebut. And we call that a debate. It's not a debate. And what happened on CNN was not a town hall. So there are certain things that are happening in society that I think we need to, if we would just be honest with ourselves and one another, I think it would help a lot. We could throw the windows open, let in the breeze of honesty to blow away all of the stagnant air and cobwebs and all of the nonsense, and, you know, just take an honest stock of some things. And so it's in that spirit that I launch out in this diatribe, I suppose. Well, I'll launch out when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. All right. Diatribe. Let's see. The flag of the East India Company is interesting. Interesting history, too. Come back to that, perhaps. Don't let the... America, don't let the parasite kill the host. Time for some delousing or something. You know, get rid of the parasite. So the American Fire Department has a long and storied history. Originally, well, let's see. You can go to Union Fire Company, Wikipedia entry, for example, look up the Union Fire Company, sometimes called Franklin's Bucket Brigade, was a volunteer fire department formed in Philadelphia in 1736. With the assistance of Benjamin Franklin, it was the very first firefighting organization in Philadelphia, although it was followed within a year by the establishment of the Fellowship Fire Company, et cetera, et cetera. It's an interesting story, I think, anyway. So originally dreamed up by, you know, Benjamin Franklin, its beginnings were volunteer, obviously. As such, there was no major public expenditure required. Of course, there is some equipment and training and so forth needed, but not nearly as much as when you institutionalize something like the fire department, as we have, you know, most things today in the technocratic cyber. It's the technocratic cybernetic totalist way, isn't it? That's what you have to do. This is how we mitigate risk. You know, we analyze the data, and based on statistical analysis, then we can. Anyway, it's ridiculous. So we've institutionalized everything. If you remember Friday's broadcast, I said that in George Bernard Shaw's scientific dictatorship, basically, everything and therefore everyone, because to technocrats like Shaw, everyone is a thing, the Internet of Things. Everyone in that scientific dictatorship must, you know, and everything must justify its existence. So, you know, United States Technocracy, Inc., everything, therefore, everyone must justify its or their existence. We all must justify our existence. We played the clip, you know, George Bernard Shaw, if you're not familiar, just look it up. Have them brought before a panel every period of years, and if you cannot justify your existence, sir, madam, then we will execute you in a kindly enough manner. Disgusting. So as such, our old volunteer American Fire Department must now, well, you know, having been converted and been institutionalized, it must now justify itself. And this presents all kinds of interesting little scenarios. And, you know, if you look at the kinds of things that they're doing, then you can see it creates this anomalous sort of behavior. Similarly, police departments and law enforcement in general must justify their existence as well. The FBI, for instance, in order to justify its ongoing existence, as Trevor Aronson reminds us, creates, as he put it, quote, more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization, more than Al-Qaeda, more than Al-Shabaab, more than the Islamic State, more than all of them combined. That's a quote from Trevor Aronson after years of research. Go listen to his TED Talk if you're not familiar. How this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. What? And then so after he said those words, he said, this isn't likely how you think about the FBI. That's an understatement. Most people don't realize. But this is the truth. This is honest. This is factual. Despite the mental malaise, the delusion under which we suffer, this is reality. So, in a similar sense, I find it fascinating. It's a fascinating observation that today's local law enforcement, in order to justify its existence, sort of relies on the low-level drug industry, if you will. And it has been industrialized. I have it on firsthand account that local law enforcement deals with these folks as much or more than anything else in predominantly all communities across America. I think it's also interesting to note that the industrialized worldwide drug trade, speaking of the East India Company, dates back to the East India Company of the early 1600s, which has, you know, as I said, an interesting flag, by the way. I wonder what, if anything, Georgetown professor Carol Quigley was trying to tell us in the Anglo-American establishment. You know that book cover? You know, just for posterity's sake, Amazon.com book description, because Amazon is a conspiracy theory website. Actually, I think it kind of is, but that's being facetious. Did they change the book description? Book description. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And that cover is interesting. I wonder what's going on there. So, as a final point of note, I find it equally fascinating how many books, movies, and so on predicted, wink, wink, this kind of thing, you know, what I was just talking about. For instance, back in the 1980s, if you remember the 70s and 80s, perhaps you remember all of those emergency shows and the early, you know, crime shows, police shows. Back in the 70s, for example, you know, like Emergency, Adam 12, Chips, Dragnet, Sierra, those kinds of things. And that was kind of the transition from the old Western stuff to the new, you know, modern society stuff. Anyway, same thing was going on before that. And there's another interesting little kind of footnote, I suppose, that I should add that I was thinking about last night. You know, if you if you work at a hospital, or, you know, if you work in the healthcare industry, or, you know, if you work in the criminal justice system, which I think is an oxymoron, but whatever. Whatever your profession, for example, you probably, unless you're conscious of this, you probably are a victim of the cognitive bias known as frequency illusion, or the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. We see COVID patients every day. Of course you do. You work at a hospital, for Pete's sake. We see criminals every day. Of course you do. You work in law enforcement, for Pete's sake, which, you know, used to be considered, you know, you used to be a peace officer instead of a law enforcement officer, but whatever. So, you know, frequency illusion is something to maybe keep in mind. So, Emergency, Adam 12, Chips, Dragnet, Sierra, etc. Before there was Michael Crichton's ER, there was Jack Webb's Emergency. And before there was the institutionalized emergency room, there was the Emergency TV series. Remarkable. I think, wasn't the first actual emergency room in Los Angeles County? And it was, you know, pretty much right at the same time, but on the heels of the Emergency television series. Remarkable. I wonder, speaking of, you know, technocrats following the data and the statistics, I wonder what the statistical probability of all of those coincidences lining up might be. Probably to the, you know, improbable to the point of absurdity. That's what I think. Incidentally, maybe Gary Webb wasn't crazy after all and didn't commit suicide either, by the way. The broken window fallacy, by any other name, is still a fallacy, speaking of logical fallacies. And speaking of this particular brand of insanity, here are a few more things that make me go, that's interesting. In some places in America, they don't call it jail anymore. Did you know that? This is a fact. They call it adult detention, for example. Adult detention. Adult detention. That is a factual statement and not hyperbole. I was shocked to discover this. Personally, I think I'd be more ashamed and embarrassed to say that I've been to adult detention than to say I'd been to jail. Remember what George Carlin said about the perversion of language? And what I read in Proverbs 17:20 earlier today? If you want to visit someone, and here are some things that sort of really make me, they kind of, you know, I don't know, make me, they give me, whatever you want to call it, bitter beer face. If you want to visit someone in adult detention, quote unquote, i.e. jail, then you must possess and present a valid identification, right? They always tell you, because you might be Al-Qaeda. However, at the same facility, they They do not need you to possess and present a valid identification to arrest and incarcerate you in said facility. So why is the honor system sufficient upon your arrest and incarceration, but not on your visitation? Please remind me again, who is the alleged criminal? A better question in this scenario is perhaps, who doesn't feel like a criminal? I've talked about this many times in the past. Going back in history, you know, Lee Bropes was the guy who told us about a conflict of laws, really sort of brought this to the fore. When you have a conflict of laws, what form of law, what body of law applies? Which one is supreme? And, you know, I've talked about Blackstone's commentaries and the feudalist system. And, you know, is it supreme just because, you know, might makes right? Is that what makes it supreme? Anyway, ministerial, inquisitorial, feudalist systems always rely on the presumption of guilt, don't they? You're guilty until proven innocent. Could that be why you're supposed to possess and present a valid identification, even though you're, you know, what is the purpose of that? And speaking of fomenting and perpetuating conflict and the presumption of guilt, I find it fascinating that when a restraining order is issued, the respondent is, you know, there's a laundry list of things. I don't know if you've seen any of these things. You can find them online and stuff. But, you know, for example, the respondent, i.e. the accused, and this is, again, just accused. This is not convicted. You know, we're making convicts out of everybody, including visitors. So the respondent is, for example, restrained from assaulting, threatening, abusing, harassing, following, stalking. Is that not hyperbolic? Isn't there a simpler way to say that? And all kinds of other things. And then there, you know, and then... So you think, you know, for example, if two people want to work something out, but, you know, there's this thing now, the state is involved. Well, what if a person says, you know what, that was, I got a little carried away. Nope. Even if invited by the petitioner, in other words, the accuser, you are not supposed to mess around with that according to these things. So let me get this straight. Am I to gather that the respondent can have no contact with the petitioner in any way, shape, or form, even looking at the accuser from like a quarter mile away in some cases is enough to send the accused to adult detention? However, accuser, there is no similar language. Accuser has carte blanche to do whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, folks are doing this. It's just interesting. There's no restraint of the accuser from perhaps taunting the accused if they want at will. You know, and the language, if you look it up, it says things like, even if invited by the petitioner or another person. So does that mean that if the accuser wants, they could taunt the person and, you know, possibly including the enlistment of a harassment brigade? That'd be awful. And before people jump to conclusions and say, oh, that's crazy talk, again, I would remind you, this is a doctrine. This is a foreign policy doctrine. Or it belies the foreign policy doctrine of, you know, P2OG meets R2P. Proactive preemptive operations groups stimulating reactions to catch terrorists, you know. And then the other side of the coin is R2P, responsibility to protect, responsibility to prevent. Never again. This is literally how foreign and now domestic policy works. It's a sick thing. And so, you know, if you're gonna do that, why not apply it equally? You know, so that you don't create conflict. Like I said, so that you're not potentially fomenting and perpetuating conflict. And so, you know, you think about this kind of imbalance, and you know what could possibly go wrong. And And so it's unfortunate to see this in America, and it's just part of the mental gymnastics that we've been encouraged to play, and we choose to do this. It's dishonest, and it's harmful. It has a result. It has consequences. So, I suppose I'll circle back around now. You know, yesterday I was sort of wrapping up with Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't mind, I will conclude my thought that I was not able to finish yesterday because of time. I was not responsible about the time. But just sort of wrapping all of this up together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, I guess, end of Ephesians chapter 4, if you will indulge me. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. A lot of that going around. I mentioned Matthew 24 yesterday and Jesus' words to that effect. And they having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, which again reminds me of places like Romans 1. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him, capital H, and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer. I guess that means we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve, huh? And I guess the IRS. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And then these two verses to conclude. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So that's that. I think, you know, those are words that have been rattling around in my mind lately. And just as a final word on that kind of stuff, speaking of my four examples earlier today, if you are a man who grew up effectively without a father in your life, you know, what I read from Hebrews 12:8 specifically, you're a man who grew up effectively without a father in your life. I would say if you relate to that in any way, I would say cry out to God as Abba, Father, you know, as Bible puts it, Daddy, basically, and he will heal you. And then, you know, it's a transformative thing. Then hold your head high in humility, not in arrogance, but in humility, because you are a son of the Most High. And that's a good thing. You know, we shouldn't be cranking out generations of bastards, illegitimate children. But if we're removing fathers from homes, that's what we're doing. And it is a very sinister and pervasive thing. Lots of people have talked about Candace Owens, Denzel Washington. You know, I've talked about the projects in the past, and it, you know, the statisticians, the sociologists, they know this stuff. They know how it works, and that the, as Larkin, Texas reminds us, it's all about the odds, probability. In the absence of certainty, probability will do, because eventually, you know, if you can sow enough seeds of discord and conflict in the home generally, then there's going to be a conflict. And you know what? I can't count on this man to be here, but you know what? The nanny state will always give me free corn. So the nanny state says, okay, you can have free corn, but he has to go away. You know, again, folks like Candace Owens have talked about this. Larry Elder, Denzel Washington, many others. It's a real phenomenon. And there's a reason that when you listen to folks like Candace Owens or Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams or any number of other folks who are honest about our history, they go back and they say, tell me why, if what you're saying is true today, these lies that we're being fed, then why was life in these communities you're saying are so oppressed and so forth, why was life better back then than it is today? In a nuclear family sense, what happened over the years? If it was so much worse back then, you're saying, and we've made some progress, but it's still bad, but it was really bad back then. Really? Then why was the family life so much better back then? Go back and listen to folks speaking in the 60s and the 50s. You'll see the television interviews. Very articulate, very intelligent. Then maybe jump forward to today and compare that to today's raving rabbits and, you know, 8-second sound bites and things like that, which, again, Carl Sagan wrote about. No, that'll do it for today, I think. The demon-haunted world, science is a candle in the dark, Carl Sagan. And, you know, things like the bamboozle. Have we been taken captive? Too painful to acknowledge even to ourselves that we've been taken? Don't give the charlatan power. Because like Sagan said, once you give the charlatan power, you almost never get it back. I hope it was informative. That'll do it for today's broadcast. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.